Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, would you please? Ephesians chapter 3. We're in the book of Ephesus. And Ephesus at this time was a city of how many people? Remember? 300,000 people in Paul's day. It was multicultural. It was racial. Multiracial. It was a wide variety of people that came and a small Jewish population. But no wonder someone like the Apostle Paul could literally flourish in this town because Paul had been born and raised in Tarsus. And if you remember Tarsus, multicultural, multiracial, fantastic center of education, and Gentiles and Jews and people from all around the world came to these communities, and the Apostle Paul was perfectly suited to be able to minister to these people in Ephesus. Now, Ephesus had several things going for it, one of the most important seaports in that part of the world, but it also was the home of one of the seven wonders of the world. Remember? The Temple of Diana. And the Temple of Diana, with its magnificent marble columns, now is standing with one broken column left because it went into disarray. How many understand? If you don't build your house on the solid rock of Jesus, it's not going to stand. Your life's going to stand when you build your life in Jesus. And Paul is in prison. Ephesus, in the book of Ephesians, rather, is one of the prison epistles. Like Philippians. Like Colossians. Like Philemon. He's writing back to his sons and daughters in the faith, trying to encourage them, stand strong in all that you've got. Come on, look at each other. Say, stand strong in all that you've got. 37 times in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes, in Christ, the phrase, in Christ. You are given fantastic riches in Christ. And the point of this book is to help us understand our riches so we see what we have in provision and to make our provision our practice. To make our provision our practice. Paul received supernatural revelation. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul received supernatural revelation. Let us see by what Jesus sees. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears. We want to see what you have provided. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 5. I'm reading from the New King James. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation, say that with me, revelation, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already. We studied the mystery in Acts chapter, or in Ephesians chapter 2. By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. This was not known before. What God has given to me is given by revelation, the Apostle Paul is saying. The Holy Spirit showed this to me. Nobody knew this in ages past. The prophets he's referring to are New Testament prophets. The apostles are New Testament because this is based on something Jesus has radically done. How many know Jesus has radically changed your life? Turn to each other and ask, are you a radical dude or dudette? And you better know which one you are. Paul's ministry is birthed by supernatural revelation. Paul's life is sustained by supernatural energy, supernatural encouragement, supernatural provision. You've seen in Paul's life, if you've read through the book of Acts, which I know you have, you see healing power after he's been beaten and left for dead. You see doors open, miraculous interventions take place. You watch seeing eyes blinded, remember? And you see blinded eyes seeing. A snake is thrown off into the fire and Paul's not harmed. He's left for dead. He's stoned. He's shipwrecked. And we know that the power of God supernaturally infused him with light and anointing and vibrancy and revelation. How many in this room want to live under an open heaven of revelation? Oh God, speak to my spirit. Speak to my heart. Speak to my life. Oh Jesus, show me. Open my eyes. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to respond. I am not one who's here to advocate a dead, dying religion. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is alive and he wants to speak to his people by the Holy Spirit. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Oh God, open my eyes to see you. Paul says, I've seen this revelation. They didn't see it in the past. Paul, when he was Saul, of course, that's the Hebrew name versus his Roman name, was like a fire-breathing dragon, if you will, threatening Christians before he got saved. Committed them to prison, to be beaten, to be killed. Imprisoned them for what the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, felt was total blasphemy against Israel. And God supernaturally stopped him in his tracks. Knocked him on his keister. Anybody ever felt like God stopped you in your tracks and knocked you on your keister? I have a loving father who knows just right where to hit my keister. And he revealed himself to Paul, humbled him, and changed him forever. Paul is a living illustration of what God refers to in the Scripture when it talks about the word repentance. Because repentance literally means you're going down the road this way and you stop, repent, turn around, and go the other way. Sin keeps going and you walk away from it. The Apostle Paul's life is radically an example of what that is about. Going down the road that way and God stops him and sends him the other way. Have you met Jesus this morning? Has he radically changed the direction of your life? That's what repentance is. Around here in this church, we don't believe in just adding a little Jesus on a little Sunday morning to our life, do we? Sometimes it might be a little happier if we did. I don't think so. I agree, Jeannie. I don't think so. You take a look at what God's called us to be as the church. The ecclesia, the ecclesia, the called out ones, called out from the world, not just to be happy, that's nice, not just to be well-fed fat sheep, that's nice, but to be people who go out into the highway and the byway and stop people from going to hell. To be people who were called to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. To be an active, living Christian who loves Jesus, thinks about Him, talks like Him, works like Him, lives like Him, and repents when we don't. You got it? That's what the Bible talks about. Whole life surrender. There's the message of salvation. Paul and the New Testament apostles and prophets received revelation that the rest of the world, for all of the ages up to that point, longed to see and never did. And Paul is writing to the Ephesians, you're on this side of the revelation. You get it. You can see it. Because we've seen and our lives have been changed forever by this revelation. I can never be what I was before I got radically saved. I played around with church. I went every Sunday. Mom was a preacher's kid. I hated church. Couldn't stand going to church. We were out the door like a bullet when he said amen at the end. I didn't want to be in church. But when I radically got saved, all of a sudden church made sense. The Bible made sense. Teach me, train me. I want to be what God wants me to be. How many remember the old song? I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Over mountain, plain, and sea, or whatever those words are. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. Do you have that burning in your spirit this morning? Come on, is that burning inside? Oh God, maybe I'm on the retired side of life. Who cares? I'm on the refired side of life. It doesn't matter. A designed, destined moment in an auto parts sales store, right? How many believe God's got you right where you are? With the neighbors you have? Going to the store you go to? Going to the doctor you go to? Seeing the people you see? For a reason. Being in a family you are? Oh, bummer. You know, all families have that weird Uncle Charlie, right? And don't you just hope you weren't that? Don't you just hope they're not weird looking at you going, there's the weird Uncle Charlie in our family. God's put you right where you are. Oh, God. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. Oh, God, we're living on this side of Revelation. All of the ages was changed forever. And Paul's saying, Ephesians, I know they were under terrible persecution, this little church. And Paul said, don't worry, you got riches, you're loaded, you're wealthy in Christ. Don't live like a pauper when Christ is in you and you are in Christ. Present truth. All right, what's the mystery? God's one new, say it with me, family. God's one new family. Verse 6, what's the mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel. It's not Jew versus Gentile. It's one new man. And the new man's name is Christian. The new man's name is? Come on, boom it out, church. The new man's name is Christian. Consider, when Barnabas went to Antioch to find Paul or Saul, he came and there were Gentiles and there were Jews in the church at Antioch, hands up, raised. Can you imagine Barnabas, the son of consolation, an encourager in the body of Christ, who came to this place where it was really happening the way it was supposed to be? It wasn't they wouldn't touch one another. They were one body worshiping Jesus, Jew and Gentile, who had become Christian. I bet those hot tears ran down this man's face as he looked and saw, look at the mystery unfolded right in front of us. Fellow heirs. Literally, the Greek word is sunkleronomos. Sunkleronomos. And it means a co-heir. A participant in common. You all own a piece of the rock. Come on, say it with me. I own a piece of the rock. Fellow heirs, partakers, the Greek word is sumetokos. Sumetokos, and it means a co-participant. I get to play. We're not just sitting in the schoolyard and we're the last one picked for the team. You know what I mean? You know? Anybody in this room? You don't have to raise your hand, but were you ever the last one picked? Didn't feel good. In church, you ain't the last one picked. You're a co-participant. You get to participate. Everybody can raise their hands. Everybody can sing. Everybody can rejoice. Everybody can receive Jesus. Everybody can be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Poke your neighbor and say, you do. Come on, poke your neighbor again and say, but he loves me a little more than you. All right, now, we taught about this last week. God did something brand new. Literally, church, I can't tell you I'm excited about this. I think you know I am, but you take a look at the scriptures. Literally what happened is God threw the doors wide open. He did something brand new. He tore the veil from the top to the bottom. God ripped that veil and said, I'm not going to be away from the people who love me anymore. Hebrews 4, let us therefore come what? Boldly, boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Up here again, Romans 5, verse 2. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we what? We what? When? We now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We minister by grace. Ephesians 3, verses 7 and 8. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the, say it with me please, grace of God. You have it in your Bible in front of you. I'm reading from New King James 3, verses 7 and 8. I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. He's the one who enabled me. He's the one who empowered me to be His minister. And we don't all have to sit here and say, I was supposed to be a minister up front preaching. No, we are all servants of the Lord. We're all bondslaves of the Lord. We all have a ministry. Someone say amen. Amen. Is it encouragement? Is it prayer? Is it whatever you can do? Strengthen one another. Healing life. You can reach out and lay hands on somebody. And the Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit, flows through you. We are all ministers in the body of Christ. By the grace of God in which we stand. I don't frustrate that grace. I work with His grace. I let Him change me by His grace. We're not ministers because we're all hot stuff. Now, you might be. I know I'm not. Okay? It's not because we deserve it. It's because He's had grace and He redeemed me. It's His power that works effectively in me, so I give Him away. Effective working of His power. Literally, that Greek word is energia. Say it with me. Energia. What does it sound like?
Energy.
Efficiency. Energia. He powered me up this morning with energia. You got a 9-volt in you. You got a lot more than that. You got a full charged Spirit of God working inside of you. The divine energia of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. That's what Paul is reminding the Ephesians. So don't live less than that. Don't give up. Don't let the devil come along and shame you. You jerk, you creep, you shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that. You're too stupid to let this happen. Phooey. Get to the pit of hell where you belong, devil. I am God's man or woman by the power, by the grace of God. I've got divine energia in me. Come on, do the motion. You got to shake. Energia. Come on, everybody do it. Energia. Some of you are looking like, I ain't going to do that motion. I'm too good for you. I'm not doing that motion. No. I'm not as stupid as you are, Kevin. I'm not going to do that. I'm just a simple guy. Simple things help me remember stuff. Energia. You're empowered to minister as His family. His ecclesia. His body. What does it mean? He's going to bring His kingdom, we pray it, on earth. As it is in heaven. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to be full of energy someday in heaven. What do you need it for there? Of course you will be. Where you need it is now. Yes, a couple of you going to sleep could use a little energia. I'm just teasing. I'm just having fun with you this morning. But listen, church, we are anointed to reach a dark and dying world. They don't have the revelation that Jesus is the living Son of God. Dead, buried, rose again. Revelation. Oh, God, I want to see You, hear You, know You. And it's more than just initial salvation. It's this life. It's this journey we're on. It's, hey, how many of you understand in the book of Daniel, it says He closed up the revelation, when Daniel knocked on his door and said, what does some of this stuff I'm seeing mean? And God says, sealed up to the right time. Do you know what I'm praying? Oh, Jesus, open our eyes. Let it be the right time. Amen. And guess what? There are things we understand in the light of His presence today that they never understood in Daniel's day. Things that have only begun to unfold in the last 10 years, 2 years, 5 years, that were never understood by the body of Christ 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years ago. Oh God, help us see the way you see. He says, I've got this divine energia. And then it goes on to say, verse 8, to me, please say it with me, find it in your Bibles. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, and Paul is going to talk about himself. Watch this phrase. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. You can look at me all day long and say, Pastor Kev, I don't qualify. And neither did Paul. Paul's saying, I was one of the ones who was terrorizing the body of Christ. I'm the least to have received this grace. Listen, Paul hated Jesus. He thought he was an imposter. And now here he is, full of energia, powered by the Spirit of God to preach the very same Jesus he hated. Why? Because of revelation he saw. Oh God, I'm going to say it again. Help us see Jesus. Help us see you. Help us hear you. I'm the least of the saints. Open my eyes. Now, come on. Let's talk about it. Let's make it real. Okay? Let me give you a little illustration. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Now, where were you when it hailed yesterday?
I was home.
And what kind of roof do you now have?
Steel roof.
Was it raining gently?
No.
No, what poured out of the sky? What came in buckets?
It was pounding on the roof.
Her testimony is it was pounding on the roof.
Uh-huh.
Did you pound on cease wondering what was happening? Did you look at him and say, why'd you buy this kind of roof? No, you didn't. But it was like an amplifier, I'm sure. Where were you? I mean, when the skies opened up, 2:30 in the afternoon, I'm sitting at my desk, I'm working on the message, and the skies literally opened up. It was buckets and buckets of hail. She asked, did you ask what you had done wrong? No. But there was also some thunder across the way. It was, but let me make this real for you. It was thunderous. It was loud. And you probably know I have two little chick dogs. When it got loud, those little dogs are ruff, ruff, ruff. Like, Dad, I know you don't know. You don't hear this, but let me tell you, something's happening. But they weren't full of confidence and power. You know how they work? And I was sitting at my desk, and I opened my blind, and I watched the downpour. And Honey, who was just jumped right into my lap, I put her on my desk. She looked outside, saw it, and calmed down. And Sugar, my little Maltese, you know what they're famous for? Yapping. And she would run this way and run this way. And I said, Sugar, come here. I'll show you. Come here. And she'd come up to me about 3 feet, and then she'd run away across the room. And she was turned with her tail straight out, barking at the door. And it would come down louder and louder. And she's barking. And I'd reach out. Come on, I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll show you what's going on. Come on. Come on. And she ran all around, and she never did end up in my lap. And a few minutes later, it stopped. Just like that.
Okay.
Honey calmed down because she could see. Sugar never saw. When you understand you're seated in heavenly places with Jesus, that you have His mind, and you say, God, show me what you're doing. Give me revelation. He says, you come, sit right here in my lap. Sit right here at my desk. How many times? Come on. I know there's some of you right here in this church that are shaken by the circumstances of life, and life is sometimes you understand, the pits. Didn't bring your umbrella. But it is. Come on, church. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes our kids don't respond and our hearts are broken and our grandkids are going in weird directions and getting tattoos and it's not the cross they're tattooing themselves with. And sometimes people you love die and sometimes people that you love turn away and oh God, and sometimes you just plain hurt and have no answers. And that hail is coming down. And Jesus says, come on, honey. Come on up. I'll show you. The effective working of His power. Father knows best. Open my eyes, Lord, to see You. My ears to hear You. My heart to respond to You. All this happens so we can give Him away. Give Jesus away. Verses 3, or chapter 3, 7 and 8. Why is all this happening? Why do I have this revelation? Why do I have this grace? Even as the prophetic word came this morning, that I should preach among the Gentiles, say it with me, please, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities, even to the good spirits and to the wicked spirits, that everybody sees there's power in Christ and deliverance in Christ and in the heavenly places. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. What was Paul so changed by? What was he so excited about? What was all this energia all about? Energia all about? You could almost see the bolts of electricity coming off him. Because he saw, like none of the other ages had seen up to this point, unsearchable riches in Christ and church. He's given it to you. You've got it. Live it! Enjoy it! You're with Him! It was supernaturally shown to him. He had the answer all the ages wanted to see, but was never able to. Had been hidden. Now Jesus dies. He's buried. He's risen again. He tears the curtain in two from top to bottom. He throws the gates open wide and He says, come on in, family. I love you. I've just done all this because I love you. You are not abandoned. You are not left confused. You are not just left hurting. You don't have all the answers, but come on up into my lap. Come sit on my desk. Let me show you from my point of view. And I love you. The Jews never saw this coming. The Gentiles never dreamed it could happen. The Jews hated Jesus. They believed He was literally an imposter, that He really wasn't the Messiah. And Paul comes preaching powerfully about Jesus, and miracles are happening, and eyes are opening, ears are opening, and they are convinced that Paul is literally a traitor to his people. He's treacherous. He's hazardous to our health. And that's why, in the book of Acts, they trump up a charge that said, when he went to worship in Jerusalem in the temple, he brought a Gentile into the court, into the inner court with him. Now listen, or into the area of the temple with him. Do you know who that Gentile was? He didn't bring him in there. The Gentile was Trophimus, who was from Ephesus, who was traveling with Paul now. But they trump up a charge. They arrest him. They are determined to kill him. Paul appeals to Caesar and goes to Rome. And from Rome, he's writing back. In the case of the Philippians, 10 years after he birthed the church there, to encourage these people of what they have in the Lord. It's like Paul is saying, man, this is the greatest thing the earth has never seen this before. We struck oil! Woo! If you went home today and your tap was leaking oil, you would make sure nobody else knew, you'd just want to sell it. Or if you dig in your backyard and out springs oil, you're going, yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! I'm a wealthy guy now. And Paul's saying, I loosed a rumble in the crowd. Paul is saying, because of Jesus and what he's done, you can rumble. All right, now we have, because of this, boldness and access. Let's come to a close. You're rich. Hold up your head, he says. Trump, you guys, when Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, walks into Trump Towers, how many of you know he doesn't cower? When he boards his jet, he doesn't sit down and go, can I please get on? He doesn't do that. He goes, my jet, going my way. Well, sir, we're planning your itinerary's going this way. He goes, I'm changing my mind. Mid-flight, go that way. Guess what? Plane goes that way. Because he owns it. How much do you have in Jesus? Instead of pleading for Jesus to come through, begging like we aren't even sons or daughters, we need to understand in humility, but in power, God has done His work and invested Jesus in us, given us this power to overcome this circumstance, to rise up, to believe Him, to encourage one another, to run after Him, and to have victory, not shame and condemnation in the Lord. Come boldly, Ephesians 3:12-13, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Boldness, the Greek word paresia, like parousia. Paresia, all outspokenness. Assurance is the Greek word. All outspokenness. I've got assurance. I can say what I need to say to my God. I've got access. The Greek word is proskogue. Proskogue, and it means admission. My admission ticket is paid up. They can't throw me out. Jesus bought me the ticket. I got it. Here I am. I'm in Dad's house. With confidence. Pepoithesis. Literally means reliance. I've got boldness. I've got access. I've got confidence. Literally. You've got every right to walk into God's throne room with full assurance, with holy boldness. Your ticket is paid. You have full admission. And you can rely on that word. That's what the Greek is saying. And that's why Paul says in verse 13, Ephesians 3, verse 13, therefore, when it says therefore, always ask what it's there for. Therefore, what do you want to say, Paul? My dear sons and daughters in the faith, I ask that you don't lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory. Dad is basically saying to his kids, I know you know I'm in jail because of this revelation. Don't be troubled. You've got your walk with Jesus because of it. Come on, moms. Anybody in this room love labor?
Oh, come on.
Dan's saying to Mom, I know you love labor with me. Ladies, we know you don't love labor. But how many of you love your kids? Paul's saying, look, don't be ashamed of me in prison. Don't be downcast. It's all come together for your good. All this has happened so you can have this rich walk with Jesus. Don't give it up then. I'm in jail and I can't be there with you. Walk it with boldness and life. With confidence, seeing fresh revelation from the Lord. And that's what I've done for you. The unsearchable riches of Christ. How many of you know when things happen in your life, you understand more on the other side if you've walked with God through the dealing? Amen. Come on. On the other side of the dealing, if you'll keep walking with Jesus, life will make a little more sense. A Bible teacher I always respected said, 99% of the dealings of God, you have to look back over your shoulder at to understand what he did. Bob Mumford said that. That's such a true statement. Every Friday night, without fail, this is a true story, when the sun resembled a giant orange in the sky and was starting to dip into a blue ocean, Old Ed, say with me, Old Ed, came strolling along the beach to his favorite pier. In his bony hand, he held on to a bucket of shrimp every Friday night. Ed walked out to the end of the pier, where he was lost in a world by himself. The glow of the sun is bright bronze now and started to fade, but everybody's gone every Friday night at this time except for a few joggers on the beach. And standing alone at the end of the pier, Ed is all alone with his thoughts, with a bucket of shrimp. Before long, he's not alone. As you can imagine, dozens of seagulls have begun to swoop down and envelope him, their wings fluttering, flapping wildly. And Ed stands there with his bucket of shrimp, tossing shrimp to the hungry birds. As he does, if you listened closely, true story, Ed would toss the shrimp with a smile and gently say, "Thank you. Thank you. Thank you." In a couple of minutes, his bucket is empty, but Ed doesn't leave. If you were to watch him, he would just stand there lost in thought, as if he was transported to another time and place. When he finally turns around and walks back toward the beach, a few of the birds hop along by his side on the pier until he gets to the stairs, and then they too fly away. And Old Ed makes his way down to the end of the beach and goes home. If you were sitting there on the pier with your fishing line in the water, Ed might seem like a really dumb old duck. Somebody said he looked like a guy who was a sandwich shy of a picnic. To somebody else, he was just an old man, lost in his own weird world and feeding seagulls with a bucket full of shrimp every week. Most of them would probably write Old Ed off down there in Florida, but that would be and would have been too bad. Because had they gotten to know Ed better, his full name was Eddie Rickenbacker, a famous hero back in World War II. And on one of his flying missions across the Pacific Ocean, he and his 7-member crew literally went down. Miraculously, his entire crew survived, crawled out of their plane, climbed into a life raft. Captain Rickenbacker and his crew floated for days on the rough waters of the Pacific. They fought the sun and horrific sunburn. They fought the sharks. And most of all, they fought the hunger. By the 8th day, their rations ran out. No food, no water. They were hundreds of miles from land, and absolutely no one knew where they were. They needed a miracle. That afternoon, they had a simple devotional service together. Gee, that might be frowned on today in the military. They tried to nap, and Eddie leaned back and pulled his military cap over his nose. And time dragged. All he could do was listen to the slap of the waves against the raft. But suddenly, don't you love those moments? But suddenly, something landed on the top of his cap. And it was a seagull. Ed would later describe how he stood perfectly still, planning his next move. With a flash of his hand, he literally grabbed the seagull, who let out a squawk, I'm sure, managed to then slay the bird, take every feather off, and he and his starving crew made a meal out of something we wouldn't want to eat, but he had a meal. And then he used part of the bird for bait. And they were able then, because of this one single bird, to catch fish. And they were able to use parts of the next fish to catch other fish. Until they were finally survived and finally discovered after 24 days at sea. And Eddie Rickenbacker lived a lot of years after that ordeal, but he never forgot the sacrifice of that first seagull meal. And that's why every Friday night, he would never stop saying, "Thank you." When you see what God can do for you, even in the midst of your darkest hour, you too, on the other side of that, will not cease in saying thank you. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul got a revelation, the apostles and prophets got revelation that people had waited the entire history of the world to get. We live on that side. Now we see what Jesus can do. If you're here this morning and you're going through such a time in your own life, I urge you, remember He's there with you. If you need prayer and somebody to support you in prayer, we'd be honored to do so afterwards. If you're here and you've never perhaps surrendered your life to Jesus, let's do so today. It'd be an honor to pray with you. If you need a free release in the Holy Spirit in your life, we believe God does that. We'll pray for you. If you need healing yet in your body, we'll be honored to pray for you. Most of all, church, remember how much He loves you. And when you go out of this place this week, know and understand He's right here with you. He's not abandoned you, though you may feel sometimes like you're adrift on the open waters of life. Lord, thank you for getting us through. Pray with me, Lord Jesus, this day we give our lives to you in a fresh way and pray that you'll keep guiding, keep leading, keep taking us your journey. And thanks for the big revelation of you throwing wide open your doors to receive us all. We come now in repentance, saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But not just initial salvation, every day having fresh revelation of you and what you're doing. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Number 6, 24 through 26, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.